Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Hey, you're here with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7 on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, where we take you through slowly and methodically and show you things that organized religion never showed you. There's a lot of things in this Bible that you got to examine very carefully. God said, "It does my heart good that kings search out the mysteries in my book." A lot of things between the lines, single words make meanings completely change when you examine and actually look at what it really means. Take some things back to the original Hebrew and your eyes will be open. This Bible and science completely mesh. There is nothing that doesn't match if you look at what the Bible actually says. The earth has been here twice already, right here in the Bible. That means all those fossils that are millions of years old, that's true. They were here in the first earth when there were humans here too. It all meshes together. You got to look at it real closely. We're in the book of Samuel. We have watched the two separate lines of creation. God created male and female on the sixth day, and then he rested on the seventh, and then sometime later he created Adam. Believe it or not, it's all right in here. Catch up with us on WVFFradio.com, the first episodes, and see if something you want to open your mind up to, because I don't say it unless I can't back it up, unless I can back it up right here in black and white in your King James Bible. So we have come out of Egypt, children of Israel. God gave Abraham the first covenant, which was simply follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. They proved they couldn't do it, so he laid the law on them. We all know what the binding law is. The law is bondage, separation from God, and it ends in death. There is no way to one day be with God through the law. So he's working this completely beautifully choreographed story, because when Adam and Eve fell in the garden, it hurt God. So he brings the Adamic line to a point in the future where he can bring the Messiah. He has to put them under the law so that they will one day cry out for the simplicity of that first covenant. He'll bring the Messiah and reestablish the simplicity of the first covenant, which was Jesus said, "Follow me and be baptized." It's that easy. And I dare say, Christian, if you're following Christ, don't hold on to this law. The Bible says you're making the sacrifice of Christ of no avail. You're telling the Messiah what he done just wasn't good enough. So we've come, Moses and Joshua, the shepherds of Israel brought them over. Joshua brought them over to the promised land. He said, "Wipe everybody out, get them all out of the land, or you'll be cursed. If you get them all out of the land, you'll be blessed." Well, they didn't follow God's will, as they always did. They never did. They left the people in the land. They started to mix with them. And now chaos has run rampant through the brand new nation of Israel, barely 300 years old now. And it's already into chaos, civil war, worshiping other gods, debauchery, everything you can imagine. And the people cried out for a king. God says, "I don't want to give you a king." Samuel says, "Lord, they're rejecting me." Samuel was the judge of the time. God says, "No, Samuel, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting me. You know what? They want a king. I'm going to give them a king. He's going to take a tenth of everything they own. He's going to take their best children, their best daughters. He's going to make them servants. And so let's give him a king." So he picked out Saul, the biggest, tallest, most beautiful fellow he could find. And it pleased the people well. So Samuel anointed Saul, and Saul was hiding somewhere because he's seen the writing on the wall when they started looking at the different tribes. "I bring this tribe. Okay, bring Benjamin. Yes, the king will be in Benjamin. Bring the different families." He's seen his family get picked, and he'd already known that Samuel had said some things to him that were kind of weird. "The entire nation will seek you." He had told him that earlier, and he's why would they seek me? Now he's realizing, wow, they're going to make me king. So he goes off and hides himself in a haystack. That's the kind of king you want. Throw God away and let's get one of those. So we're here in chapter 11. So they anointed him king, and he went home to his dad's house. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have a clue.
I'll go clock in tomorrow.
Yes. And the last verse of chapter 10 says, but the children of Belial said, how shall this man save us? And they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace. So there's a wicked group, the sons of Belial, the original SOBs. Be surprised how many modern terms come out of this Bible. Term dumbass comes out of this Bible. The son of Belial was a worthless person. So he already has a league of people that doesn't like him. So chapter 11, the Nahash, the Ammonite, came up and encamped against Jabesh-Gilead. And all the men of Jabesh said unto Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve thee. So this guy brings his army and they just bow down and say, okay, we'll serve you. We don't even want to fight. Nahash the Ammonite answered them, on this condition will I make a covenant with you, that I may thrust out all your right eyes. Wow. That's a tough one.
Yes.
And lay it for a reproach upon all Israel. I'm going to make an example of you guys. I'm going to gouge out all of your right eyes. And the elders of Jabesh said unto him, give us 7 days respite, that we may send messengers unto all the coast of Israel, and then there be no man to save us, we will come out to thee. Give us 7 days, we're going to call all our brothers, see if anybody will come help us. If not, yeah, go ahead and thrust out our right eye. We'll serve you one eye. Then came the messengers to Gibeah to Saul, and told the tidings in the ears of the people, and all the people lifted up their voices and wept, and behold, Saul came after the hart out of the field, and Saul said, what aileth the people that they weep? They told him tidings of the men of Jabesh. And the Spirit of God came upon Saul when he heard those tidings, and his anger was kindled greatly. And you'll see that's a reoccurring theme with Saul. He has no strength of being to do anything himself. When necessary, the Spirit of God will come on him and cause him to act. How many Christians are like this nowadays? They have no strength inside them to stand up and do what's right, waiting for the Spirit of God to call them. And he took a yoke of oxen and hewed them in pieces and sent them out throughout all the coast of Israel by the hands of messengers, saying, whosoever cometh not forth after Saul and after Samuel, so shall it be done unto his oxen. And the fear of the Lord fell on the people, and they came out with one consent. I feel sorry for all these poor barnyard animals. Mm-hmm. Something like this happens, bring me some oxen and a sword.
Yeah.
What do we do?
It's not a good day for them.
Oh, man. And when he numbered them in Bezek, the children of Israel were 300,000 and the men of Judah 30,000. And they said unto the messengers that came, thus shall ye say unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, tomorrow, by that time the sun be hot, ye shall have help. And the messengers came and showed it to the men of Jabesh, and they were glad. Therefore the men of Jabesh said, tomorrow we will come out unto you, and ye shall do with us all that seemeth good unto you. Because they know their brethren is coming. And it was so on the morrow that Saul put the people in three companies. They did come into the midst of the host of the morning watch and slew the Ammonites until the heat of the day. And it came to pass that they which remained were scattered, so that two of them were not left together. The people said unto Samuel, who is he that shall Saul reign over us? Bring them in, that we may put them to death. And Saul said, there shall not a man be put to death this day, for today the Lord hath wrought salvation in Israel. It said Samuel to the people, come, and let us go to Gilgal and renew the kingdom there. And all the people went to Gilgal, and there they made Saul king before the Lord in Gilgal, and there they sacrifices of peace offerings before the Lord, and there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. So now he is the actual king. He was anointed king and then just went home to his father's house. Had no real idea, you know, I'm king, but I don't feel any different. Now, the Spirit of God has come upon him, and he has saved Israel, a portion of Israel, from an invader. And all the people are gathered around him. You know, they pick him up and walk him to where he's going. And now he feels like he's someone special and important. He is the king. Chapter 12, Book of 1 Samuel, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan on WVFF 97.7. And something I want to point out there, you know, when they numbered how many people came, how many soldiers came from Israel, they said 300,000 from Israel and 30,000 from Judah. You can see they are all one. The 12 tribes are one, but Judah often gets pulled to the side and counted separately and will end up a separate nation all itself in the near future. Chapter 12, And Samuel said unto all Israel, Behold, I have hearkened unto your voice and all that ye said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I am old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my childhood unto this day. Behold, here I am, witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken, or whose ass have I taken, or whom have I defrauded, whom have I oppressed, or of whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes wherewith? And I will restore it. Samuel saying, all right, you have a king now. My duties are, so he thought, over. If there's anyone that has any grievance against me, bring it now. If not, forever hold your peace, because I'm going to retire. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught from any man's hand. He said unto them, The Lord is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day. Ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, He is witness. Samuel said unto the people, It is the Lord that advances Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may reason with you before the Lord of all the righteous acts of the Lord which he did to you and to your fathers. So Samuel thinks he's retiring. He wants to do what Moses did and give them a remembrance of everything they've been through. When Jacob was come unto Egypt, and your fathers cried unto the Lord, then the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, which brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them dwell in this place. When they forget the Lord their God, he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king Moab, and they fought against them. They cried unto the Lord and said, We have sinned because we have forsaken the Lord and have served Baalim and Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of the enemies, and we will serve thee for a few minutes. After you deliver us out, Lord, we'll serve you for a few minutes or a day or a week. So it's having a little fun here with it, because the way it goes with these people. And the Lord sent Jerubbaal and Dedan and Jepheth and Samuel and delivered you out of the hand of your enemies on every side. Ye dwelled safe. When ye saw that Nahash, the king of the children of Ammon, came against you, ye said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when the Lord your God was your king. He's kind of laying it on them. Now therefore, behold, the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have desired, and behold, the Lord hath set a king over you. Ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord. Then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God. Basically saying there, if you'll follow God like you've always been asked to follow God, you will continue and you'll be okay. And your king will be okay. So the king's irrelevant there. If the people don't follow God, the king's not going to be okay either. He's just a figurehead. God is the power behind the throne. And if you will not obey the voice of the Lord, but rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall the hand of the Lord be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. Just the fact that you wanted to replace God as your king, you're not following God. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day, and all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. All the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all of our sins this evil, to ask us a king. So now they're looking to Samuel. Once again, they're realizing where the real power in the land is. It's with God. But now they have a king, and God's angry because they asked for a king. Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Another recurring theme in this Bible, you know, it doesn't matter what you did yesterday. Make it right today. Yes, you sinned against God, but fix it and don't do it anymore, and everything will be okay.
It's called penitence.
Yes.
Or penitent, being penitent.
And turn ye not aside from then, should ye go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. You know, I'm retiring, but if I don't continue to pray for you, I'm going to be sinning myself. Imagine that, Christian. Didn't know you could be sinful for not praying for your neighbor, huh? If you see a need, you need to get down on your knees, and I'm guilty of this one. You get down on your knees and do some praying. Chapter 13, Between the Lines with David and Jonathan, WVFF 97.7. Saul reigned 1 year. When he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, wherefore 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in the Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. What God said, first thing he said, you take a king, he's going to take your sons, going to make soldiers of them. This is not many yet, but it's going to get a lot more. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba. And the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard that Saul had smitten a garrison of Philistines, and that Israel also had an abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul in Gilgal. The Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel 30,000 chariots. Wow. Mm-hmm. And 6,000 horsemen, people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched at Michmash eastward from Bethaven. Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines. Yeah. Let's rely on our own people, not God. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. And Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering. And he offered the burnt offering. So, this mighty king is facing some serious opposition from a foreign army And it doesn't look good. And now, the people were looking to this king to save them and do their fighting for them. And now they're looking back toward God because there's no way this little fella can save us. And Saul's looking to Samuel to bring guidance from God, but he's very impatient. He's a very impatient man. He wants things to happen right now. He needs to know. So he takes things in his own hands. Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me and peace offering." And he offered the burnt offering. Came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering, the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came and Saul went out to meet him, that he might salute him. Now, what must you do before you offer a burnt offering, Jonathan?
Well, I mean, you have to be clean.
Yes, you must sanctify yourself. You must be of the right heart, and there's a whole lot of process there.
Oh, yes.
I doubt there were many in the land other than Samuel that could actually perform the processes.
Complete submersion in water. And
and Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" Saul said, "Because I saw the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, that the Philistines gathered themselves together here at Michmash. Therefore, said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." I forced myself. I knew that I should wait for you, but I forced myself to do it. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart." Within 2 years, Saul has proven himself unworthy.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.